from Toronto. That was Mr. Royal Wood with the Spirits and I here on Shameless 101.9 FM. CITR broadcasting live out of Vancouver on 101.9 FM on your FM dials. CITR.ca on the internet, where it also podcasts for your future listening enjoyment. I am Jonathan Brown here with you for the next hour and a half, here with Miss Natalie Olson. How's it going over there?
Pretty good. I'm excited for this amazing show that's coming up.
This is a big show.
It is.
No time to mess around.
Mm-mm.
But I had to play the Royal Wood off the start because the biggest party Vancouver's seen all week comes this Saturday night to the Rio Theater when Royal Wood and Hannah Georges take the stage separately. Maybe together. Who knows?
You never know.
It could happen.
To go to find out.
But as for the show, why, we have interviews with none other than the Arkells out of Hamilton, Ontario. The Stanfields from Halifax, who are coming to town on the 19th of October.
Wow.
And the Wooden Sky from Toronto. Who?
Who? I was going to say, three bands in one show.
And I know.
Amazing.
Too much. Too much time. Not enough time, too much show. That's what I'm thinking.
Just the right amount to show, I think.
I think so. Just enough.
Yeah.
To leave you wanting more.
Mm.
Matter of fact, the Wooden Sky will be performing acoustically on Shameless in but a few minutes.
Nice.
So how about to wet our palates, which I forgot to do before the show went on. No wonder I sound so terrible, terrible. You can't do it on the air, though. It sounds even worse.
Yikes.
Yikes. Now, how about some professional studio multi-tracked Wooden Sky with There's Something For Us Here in the Dark on Shameless.
Sons and your daughters, they can never go.
listening to The Wooden Sky here on 101.9 FM, CITR in Vancouver. The show is Shameless, and the track, Something Hiding for Us in the Night, off their latest album, If I Don't Come Home, You'll Know I'm Gone. Originating out of Toronto, they are touring this country with Yukon Blonde, and I'm lucky enough to have all of the members of The Wooden Sky here with me in the studio right now. How's it going over there, boys?
Pretty good. A little tired from the show last night in Victoria, but it was a pretty fun night. Worth it, I guess we'd say.
Has the whole tour been worth it?
Oh, it's always worth it. It's pretty fun. You kind of get reminded of that on the ferry on the way over here. It's just so beautiful. It's like, okay, it's a long way from home. No, it's pretty nice.
It's a good time to relax or sleep off that hangover.
Yeah, yeah.
Eat some overpriced, crappy food.
Yep.
Way overpriced.
Yeah, it's a little bit ridiculous.
But it's on a ferry. You're on a ferry.
You can't go anywhere once you're on the boat.
That's how they get you.
Yeah.
It's like a detox, really.
Get some nice ocean air.
Beautiful.
So, first question is to you, lead singer Gavin Gardner. Your origin as a band dates back to a school project that you did for Ryerson University. What was that school project?
Well, it was just a recording project, actually. So I had to record a band, and I didn't really know any bands at the time. I just moved to Toronto from Winnipeg, so I had some songs, and I just found a drummer, and we did the recordings, and then we just kind of decided to make it into a band to play shows. And then it sort of, I mean, that's sort of how I started playing music in Toronto, and that's kind of how it relates back to The Wooden Sky. It's not really the same band, but it kind of evolved from there.
Right, and have you noticed that things have changed for you on the road since you began to explode on the Canadian rock scene?
Exploding. Actually, touring has gotten a lot easier, I would say, and more rewarding. It's really fun to go back to cities we've been to before and see the same people out, and like people coming to enjoy themselves and sing along. And
people who are excited about you being there.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Excited about the show.
Yeah, it's great. We were reminded of that when we went through the States for a week before we got out here. And it's sort of like starting again, so we got, you know, it was very humbling.
Yeah.
Nice. So you've brought a bit of your gear. You're going to play a few songs for us now.
Yeah.
A few acoustic renditions.
Acoustic renditions. We're gonna play Rivers, a song called River Song. I watch the water rolling off the river. Some idea we're in for now. You said lay your head down next to mine on the ground. And if the Lord doesn't save us, we'll drown. So we both lay there shaking our hands in the river, saying I'm sure we were born just to die. But when the water rushed in, I gave in to my sins and found my own way to higher ground. Where I watched as the water took hold of your body, from high on my hill of retreat. And you smiled up at me amongst the bodies and trees, and I didn't sleep for a week after that. My mind drifted off in sleep, but your eyes came to me, disguised as the sea, and saying I can't forgive you for this. Oh, but please, darling, please, you're much stronger
than me. And I tried all my days to believe. He said, don't come around the next time you get there looking to me for relief.
River Song live by the Wooden Sky here on Shameless 101.9 FM CITR. So, what was the inspiration behind that song?
Well, you know, actually, I was working and I didn't have a lot to do at work, and I have my guitar there. So I decided I was going to write this 7-song EP sort of about the flood that happened in Manitoba. Even though the songs that I wrote really had nothing to do with the flood except for the river being the constant theme in it. So I wrote 2 songs in 2 days. I was going to write them all in a week, and both of them are on a record. It's Lake King Henry and River Song. And then I wrote a 3rd song, and it was so terrible that I just kind of abandoned the project.
Yeah, I remember that flood back when the Red River had become the Red Lake in the news for a while.
Yeah, I remember. Our whole school hopped on a couple buses and went out to some farms and did some sandbagging, which was, well, I actually had to catch chickens, but I didn't catch any. I tell you this story ever? We went out to this farm, and we thought we were just going to be sandbagging, because, like, just to help, you know, prepare the farm for the floods, I guess. And, anyway, it was a chicken farm, and so they had to get all these chickens and put them into the truck, but you couldn't just catch 1 chicken, you had to catch 5 chickens at a time. You'd have 2 in 1 hand and 3 in the other hand, otherwise they wouldn't take them. I didn't catch a single one.
What, they wouldn't just accept 1 chicken?
No, you had to hang them upside down by their feet. So you'd have, like, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2 chickens. You'd hand them like that, and they would take them. I don't know if any students actually caught a chicken or not.
That's a weird thing.
You know that scene in Napoleon Dynamite where they're catching chickens? Yeah, it was like that.
You, like, scoop them up?
Yeah, it was weird.
So, in addition to your album, If I Don't Come Home, You'll Know I'm Gone, you've also recorded a tour EP.
Yes, I do.
What was that like to record?
It was actually really refreshing, I felt like, when we did it. It was because we had just finished making the album, and we were going to go on this tour, and then we had, like, it was so painstaking, and we recorded the EP in, like, 2 days and finished it, which was awesome. We just sort of went in and decided what songs we were going to do, and just made the arrangements on the spot, recorded them live off the floor, mixed them a couple days later, and then it was done, which was nice.
We'll be back with The Wooden Sky on 101.9 FM CITR after this quick message from Save Our Net.
Until now, Canada's internet has been an open network and a level playing field for free speech and innovation. All that is under threat. A handful of companies want to limit what you can access on the internet. In May, SaveOurNet.ca led a successful campaign pushing net neutrality to the top of the Liberal Party website. Now, both the New Democratic Party and the Liberals have official policies supporting net neutrality. In addition to that, the CRTC has recently issued new rules intending to prevent the actions of some internet service providers from limiting certain types of traffic and content on the web. But the battle does not end there. To tell the government that net neutrality is a vital part of our democratic society, and for more information, visit www.saveournet.ca. This message is brought to you by SaveOurNet.ca and CITR 101.9 FM.
Now, I've been following your tour video series on MySpace. It's really cool.
Hey, thank you.
I thought I detected one in the 3rd or 4th one, a blind melon flavor when you're in the sunflowers. Distinctly reminded me of the No Rain video.
I can't remember that video.
With the big bumblebee?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, great video.
Classic.
Scott Cudmore directed those, didn't he?
Yeah.
He also directed your other video?
Yep.
Is he any different when he's on the road with you?
Yes.
Directing behind the scenes than actually physically directing you to do something?
More relaxed.
Yeah.
And he's on the road.
Yeah. More relaxed, but he's still, I think he knows what he wants. He still kind of has direction behind what he wants to see. But yeah, more relaxed, yes.
But yeah, it's just playing the same role, so I guess so. Cool. I'm going to plug the documentary now because it's actually airing on Ox TV tomorrow in its entirety.
Nice.
So there's a little plug.
Was it as spontaneous as it seems? Were you like just driving around and all of a sudden you see these big plains of Saskatchewan, pull over somewhere cool and get the gear out and just let the good times roll?
It was like that, actually. We had a few planned out, I think, in advance, but then a lot of it was just on the fly. Because he does a show on Ox called Camera Music. I don't know if you've seen it before, but it's kind of... This kind of evolved from Camera Music, and now Camera Music's taken from the documentary and going even further, which is pretty cool. But it's a show based kind of around that, so we thought, let's bring Scott on the road because he's fun and we'll shoot something.
Nice. It turned out well.
Yeah, he's a pretty talented guy.
And now The Wooden Sky, shall we get into another acoustic song?
Sure thing.
Awesome.
We played this song in the documentary
in Saskatoon.
The fireworks in a river and a really nice security guard.
They allowed us to shoot fireworks off.
Yeah. Well, I woke up this morning with dead leaves inside my bed. Say you're better off just where you are than to be stuck in my head. You gotta leave it all behind you and give yourself up to chance. So I give myself to chance. And I packed a little suitcase, brushed my teeth and washed my hands. I've been bluffing here for years now. I think it's time I show my hand. I'm gonna move to New York City, set the sky on fire. Oh, don't the night look so alive with its desire? Yeah, to cross the River Jordan, but it just don't feel the same. When I came home Friday morning, all with no one but myself to blame. Well, see, I had trouble with numbers and paying the ones I owed. So I put what I had left in the pocket of my coat. Went out to find a liquor store, make a home there in the snow. Give myself a little shelter from the cold. See, I was bound here by my choices. Oh my God, how I felt so ashamed. Still I hope that you might join us and take this little light of ours out on parade. Well, I used to look to others and try to find a way to grow. Now I just look around and I'm gonna reap the seeds I've sown. I try to picture myself in Oslo, but Lord, heal me if I go. See, I've been running around, I believe it's starting to show. And so I'll cross the River Jordan, and if it just don't feel the same. And I'm not home Friday morning, all with I left no one but myself to blame.
Beatroot Magazine and WinnieCooper.net present PBGBs, a month-long weekly art show and music series appearing every Thursday in October at 7 p.m. at the Chapel Arts.
October 14th features the art of Dan Siney and the tunes of White Lung, Boogie Monster, and DJ Glenn Alderson. The after party kicks off at 11 p.m. at Honey Lounge.
Be sure to check out Heebie-Jeebies, a potent cocktail of art and music every Thursday in October at the Chapel Arts, presented by Beatroot Magazine and WinnieCooper.net.
Very nice. This is The Wooden Sky playing an acoustic rendition of their song Oslo off their latest release, If I Don't Come Home, You'll Know I'm Gone, here for us live on 101.9 FM CITR Vancouver on the show that is Shameless. Now, earlier I neglected to do a round of introductions, so let's have at it now. Who have we got here?
Why don't we start with Edwin here? That's Edwin.
On violins.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm Gavin.
I am Simon.
I'm Wyatt.
And over there we have Kip and Oliver and Margie. And
Kaylee.
And Kaylee.
That's our entourage.
That's our entourage.
They're pretty tough looking.
Yeah. You can't see them on the radio, but they're tough.
I was nervous, but excited all at the same time. It was a good feeling.
Combo.
So, how would you describe the mindset going into this album, If I Don't Come Home, You'll Know I'm Gone, as opposed to your first album, When Lost at Sea? What was did you want to do differently the second time around?
Who wants to take that one?
I think there's a lot more excitement going into it, for sure. It was the first time that we made a record with Simon and with a producer in mind as well. And I think, like, knowing that we're going to Montreal and spending 2 weeks in Montreal and all that time was devoted for recording, I think there was excitement and like, drive as well. Like, whereas with the first record, you know, it was recorded over the span of a year. And because it was, you know, we had the chance to do 2 weeks straight, it was, I don't know, much better mindset, I think, and, you know, more passion, I guess.
Focused.
More focus, too.
Focus and excitement, that's a good comment.
Thank you.
You say that in addition to, I don't want to say professionalism, but, like, it's definitely when you make, like, your first album, and it's, like, a fun thing, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, whatever. Put your heart into it, but then when you're actually established, and you make a second album, people are following you. You have some desire to actually, I don't know, impress them or do it justice.
Making this record, maybe the next one wouldn't feel that way, but I don't necessarily think there was a feeling of expectation.
Well, we have higher expectations of ourselves than anybody else. So, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like we want to make the record sound the way we hear it in our heads, and if we can't do that, then I'm sure we would be very disappointed. So. Like, the expectations are only ones that we set for ourselves, I think. That makes sense.
Yes,
perfect sense.
And now, a question everyone is dying to know the answer to. From your experiences on the road, who parties harder, Obiju or Elliot Brood?
Elliot Brood.
I saw that one coming.
Yeah. Not that Obiju aren't fun. They're very fun. But, talk about partying hard.
Let's call a spade, dude.
Yeah. You should tell a little story about Wyatt partying with Elliot Brood.
Why?
Because it's hilarious. We went and watched Elliot Brood play in Texas. We were on tour with them. We used to get up on stage with them every night and just play. We basically just played tambourines and pots and pans. And so we were in Texas and they were in Texas, so we decided to go watch them play. And it had been a long day. And they were kind of, I don't know if they were expecting us to come on stage or not, but Wyatt decided he was going to go up on stage. So he walked up on stage, took two steps on stage, then fell off the stage,
grabbed
the microphone, and fell into the audience, head over heels. It was amazing to watch. Yeah.
Were all the Texans in the audience like, Axl Rose, is that you?
I don't even know if people knew, like, what happened.
It was so fast. Literally, it was one, two, up.
Off stage. It just looked like a total stage dive, but he took the mic with him. That was priceless.
I was tripped.
Yeah, you tripped. Hey,
tripped.
There's a lot of wires
clumsy
up there.
Clumsy.
Not a model. You're not expected to walk like
nope
this perfectly all the time. Yeah.
Could be, though.
He's got legs like a model, though.
That's true. I agree. I'm jealous.
It's too bad this is only radio.
Speaking of radio, do you guys want to play one more song?
Sure. Do you guys want
to play your new one?
Do you want to do that one or do you want to do Angelina?
Can't see that right now.
Okay. Maybe I should tune this first. You can cut all this out, probably, can't you? You could, but you might not. I don't know if you've gone back and seen the Nirvana Unplugged DVD, but they actually cut out a lot for that TV broadcast. They sit around between songs for like half an hour, smoking cigarettes and just like talking and like, what's going on back there? Are they going to start? Are we ready?
See?
Yeah, it takes forever. They edit it together very nicely, so it seems really natural.
That stuff is cut out.
Yeah. Well, some of that stuff is, I'm glad it was gone. That was interesting as a document to watch. Anyway, okay, I'm gonna play a new song now. Take me out. Take me anywhere I'm around. I'd meet you anywhere at all. Oh, I'd meet you anywhere at all. I'd meet you anywhere. Oh, I wanna see everything you see. I know how long these nights can be. Why is dangling at your feet? Someplace I've never been. Someplace that's just for you and me. Just for you and me. Take me out. Take me anywhere I'm around. I'd meet you anywhere at all. I'd meet you anywhere at all. Oh, I'd meet you anywhere in a dream. Your light came dancing through the trees, singing songs that I believe. Come and shake me in my sleep. So take me out. Take me anywhere I'm around. I'd meet you anywhere at all. I'd meet you anywhere at all. Oh, I'd meet you anywhere.
That was great. This has been The Wooden Sky, here on 101.9 FM, CITR. And does that song have a name?
Oh, it doesn't have a name just yet.
Oh, nice.
Maybe we'll call it Take Me Out for now.
It has a real 50s vibe to it.
It does, kind of, yeah.
Very croony.
Yeah,
I like it.
Kind of into that. I've sort of been into that for a little while, so I want to write a love song.
Speaking of love, do you love Vancouver? How does it rate on cities to play in?
Pretty high.
Pretty high, yeah.
I like Vancouver.
We haven't been here since February, I guess. We were here for the Olympics. That's the last time.
Wasn't that fun?
Our last show at Elliott Reed at the Biltmore was really awesome.
Yeah.
Good crowd.
So. And we're playing with local Vancouver band, Yukon Blonde as well, so. And Toronto band, both really good friends of ours. It should be a really, really fun show.
The Great Bloomers.
Yeah, actually, they played it on campus last night.
Yeah, they're fun. They're both fun bands, actually.
Yeah.
Both really good.
Very high energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like just like this set was very high energy. We're hopefully going to get a nap in before this high energy show.
It's understandable. I mean, I can relate. Matter of fact, last night I was playing this game. I thought I'd like to try it today because, you know, when you're with your roommates playing a game, that goes one way. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll put it to the real test. Okay, so I was showing my roommate this sound editing program I got for school, and then I showed him this other program that I have. It's really old and has a all these weird stuff you can do, like reversing your voice, like useless stuff that you wouldn't have on like a proper sound program, but it's still, I think it's pretty cool. So I said something and reversed it, and then we had this really fun idea to say that, what was reversed, try and say it and then reverse that again and see how closely it matches.
Yeah, like the Radiohead song?
Yeah.
Like, what's that song called? Like Spinning Plates, where he sings backwards and then they put it forwards and the rest of the song is backwards?
Yeah.
What?
And then you say that backwards. Like, no, you say what's backwards, you say that properly, like as you would think it sounds, and then play that backwards. So it was actually backwards, goes forwards, and see how closely it matches.
I don't even know.
I'm so
isn't that weird?
Let's put this to test. Let's try it. Let's do this.
It sounds
blow our minds here. And then.
You lost me after roommate.
Then flip it around again.
Who'd like to try?
So how does this work? You're going to say a backwards. You say a phrase backwards first, or you say a phrase forwards first?
Say a phrase forwards first.
Okay. Try it.
How about. Wooden sky.
The wooden sky.
Yeah.
Good. Nice.
Good radio voice.
That was good, yeah. Your mom's going to be impressed.
One day.
Yeah.
So then you play that backwards, and we try to say that backwards to see how closely it sounds to it when you put it forwards?
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
But then you turn it out again. Oh, I don't know.
All right. Here it is.
Axe needle wood.
Say it one more time.
Axe needle wood.
That's right. Axe middle wood.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I don't hear
this. Here we go.
I like this game. It's funny.
Ready?
It's your
the wooden sky.
It works.
Well done.
Beautiful.
Well done.
That was pretty.
I've done this before.
Axe middle wood.
Sweet.
It's a good game.
Hours of entertainment.
You can try that on stage if you want.
Yeah.
Gather around, ready? Audience, gather around. Okay, well, on that note, shall we adjourn this session?
Sounds good. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming. That's beautiful. A thing of beauty.
Mm-hmm. Sleep time.
Rude boys, don't cry, don't cry.
Rude boy, don't cry.
Scenic Drive, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.
One, two!
Head on the wall, and my piss hardly makes the stall, and this time is not enough. This time I swear it's not. Now I'm alone, about that girl who's gone, and I try teaching her. A favorite song, and I say, yeah, that's a good one. She says, follow. piss hardly makes the stall, and this time it's not an act.
Hi, I'm John K. Sampson from The Weaker Thans, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
Wasn't The Wooden Sky fun?
The funnest.
Yeah. And that song we just had?
Mm-hmm.
Arkells?
Yep.
John Lennon?
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool, too.
It was. I like them. I wonder how many people out there are listening to Shameless right now. Because we're live on air. Saw the Arkells a couple weeks ago at UBC. It was a free show. I saw it.
That's the second free show they've done in Vancouver in the last year.
Wow.
And they just played somewhere.
The Commodore?
Yes.
With Tokyo Peace Club?
Yeah. I'll edit that to make myself sound smarter.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will.
No editing.
Do it right
this
now.
This is live.
All these sound effects you're hearing right now are totally spontaneous. And smart.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Guess what else?
What exactly? What exactly? What exactly?
Well, what else is that I have with us on the line right now? Mr. Max Kerman, lead singer and guitarist of the Arkells from Hamilton, Ontario. One of my favorite bands out of this country right now. And it's going to be a great pleasure to talk to him. How's it going?
Great, yeah, we're just in the van. We're driving to Calgary for the show tonight.
You've been on quite the lengthy tour. I've been following your Twitter, and there's quite the bevy of stories on there. What's the best night you've had so far?
The tour's been kind of broken up into two legs. We did about a month exclusively in the States. We got to see a lot of cities we'd never been to before and a lot of rooms that we'd never played. And, you know, we got to hang out in L.A. for about 4 or 5 days. The show at the El Rey Theater in L.A. was really special. It was totally sold out, and it's a beautiful old room. Just a great vibe, great energy, and, you know, you always hear a lot about L.A., and, you know, to actually go there, you know, we had a really good time. On this leg of the tour, we've only had about, I guess we're in maybe the sixth or seventh show so far, maybe sixth show. And we had a really good time in Saskatoon, as we normally do. It's been we played at Louis Pub, and we never played in that room before. And it was, again, just really fun, really good crowd. We got to play for some Tokyo Police Club fans who had never seen us, and Tokyo Police Club got to play for some Arkells fans. And we got on stage for their song, Your English is Good, and they got on stage for our song, John Lennon. And, yeah, We've had such a good time touring with those guys, and we're just really excited to hear them play every night. And I think they feel the same way about us.
And you also played hockey with them or against them while on
tour? Yeah, we kind of split up the teams. We had a day off in Minnesota, and we rented some ice time. And the teams were Graham, Dan, Tim, and who was the last player on their team? It was a non-factor. Graham and Dan are definitely the best players, and then everybody else kind of skates around. Tim is pretty good. Mike's pretty feisty. Joe, who's the guitar tech, he has a lot of heart.
Yeah, totally.
And then Josh, the guitar player, brought all of his goalie equipment. So, yeah, it was amazing. It was, like, super fun. I hadn't played hockey in a number of years, so it was a really cool way to spend the day.
I take it you started most of the fights on the ice then.
Yeah, I was dropping the gloves. Exactly.
Of course. Do you notice a big difference between an American audience and a Canadian audience when you're on stage?
They're different because, you know, as a new band, we've spent a lot of time in Canada, you know, developing the audience, you know, and we've had a lot of support from radio So when we play in Canadian markets, you know, we're at the point where, you know, people are singing along and they're excited to see us, which is really, really cool. But in America, you know, we're just kind of getting started. It's just the beginning. So and Tokyo Police Club has put in a lot of hard work there, and they've been able to build an audience. So we were planning to exclusively Tokyo Police Club fans in America. So there's a lot of blank faces at the beginning of the set. By the end of the set, you know, hopefully we converted a few. And, you know, we got to sell some CDs, and, you know, we sold T-shirts. And, yeah, it's kind of starting, you know, to build a, you know, a fan base, people who are enthusiastic about our music in the States. It's all exciting. You know, they both have different kinds of challenges, whether you're playing in Canada or America. And, you know, our band, you know, does a pretty good job of embracing, you know, any challenge that a show presents.
Of course. And have you noticed a change on the road with putting on shows or doing shows in the last few years since you've gotten progressively bigger over the years?
No, I mean, I think the kind of cool thing about being in a band is that, you know, there's always the next level up. And, you know, we're, you know, incredibly proud of, you know, what we've accomplished so far in Canada, and, you know, the fact that we can, you know, go to Vancouver, you know, all the way across the country and play to a room full of people who know the songs. Like, that's like an amazing, amazing thing, you know, to accomplish, and something that we're really proud of. But then there's always that next level, which is like, all right, you know, we can, you know, pull 400 people. Let's see if we can pull 500 people the next time. Or, you know, or we pull 30 people. Let's see if we can pull 50 people. And then, you know, so that's the thing. So, like, we're still as, you know, aggressive as we've always been, I think. You know, we still have that, you know, hunger for, you know, putting on a good live show and making, you know, the experience for, you know, people who are spending their hard-earned money, you know, something special.
Cool, cool. So how does it feel to hear your own songs on the radio, like even on commercial radio, when you're just like hanging out or at a subway or something?
Yeah, you saw a tweet. Yeah. It was actually, you know, I mean, when we're home, like, you know, the station in Toronto, the Edge 102, has been really supportive. So, you know, I don't really drive around too much, so when I do hear it on the radio, it's really cool, and I still get a kick out of it. But yeah, we were outside of Brandon, Manitoba, in a town called Vernon, Manitoba. It was just like a truck stop. We were at the subway, and I was ordering my sub, and then John Lennon came on. John Lennon was the last single to be released. You know, got less airplay than The Ballad or Box Coming or Pulling Punches.
Right.
So to hear that song kind of in the middle of rural Manitoba, you know, and it not even being one of our most popular radio songs, it was amazing. And I had to tell the subway girl that it was me singing. I was like, hey, this is actually me. And then she took my picture. It was funny.
So she believed you.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think the line, I'm so lost and I live just around the corner, would mean a lot to people living in the prairies. It takes on a whole new meaning for a prairie audience.
This is true. I never thought about that. The context of where you actually live are funny.
Yeah. So going back to the origin of the Arkells, had you and the rest of the band been good friends before you decided to start the band?
Yeah, no, we all met in college, and I think music was like one thing that united us in the beginning. But now, you know, because we all had similar interests in bands, and we all had like a passion for playing live, and we're all interested in writing songs, you know, and discovering new music. And since then, you know, it's really grown. You know, we spent so much time with each other, and we're really supportive of each other, and we're really proud of, you know, the decisions we've made as a band, and, you know, the places we've got to travel, and the friendships we've made with other bands. You know, so it really feels like, you know, we have a kind of a family. You know, we spent a lot of time together in the band. Like right now, Nick and Tim are in the front seat. Nick's kind of dozing off the bench in front of me. And Brad, who is our tour manager, who works really, really hard, he and Mike are in the back. And yeah, we get along, you know, we get along really good. And, you know, we get excited, you know, when the shows go well, and when if there's ever a bummer show, we can all laugh it off together. And luckily, we haven't had too many of those lately.
Yeah, lots of pranks on the road too, I'm assuming.
There's not too many pranks. I'm trying to think of anything we're not much of a prankster band. There's a lot of good-natured teasing that goes on. We make fun of Tim for not wanting to share the bed with anyone else in the band. Usually it's Nick and I, our bed buddies, and Dan and Mike share the bed, but Tim will refuse to sleep with any of us, so we give him a hard time with that.
Space is limited.
Yeah, that's right.
So what do you do to keep sane on the roads and the long tours?
You know, I think we've all gotten really good at, long drives, and we're getting better at, the fly-in shows where it's kind of a day of, getting to the airport, and lugging your guitars around the airport, and, flying 5 hours to Vancouver to do one show. So that, for that, we're still kind of getting adjusted to, but generally speaking, I think everybody's, finding a way to keep themselves entertained. Smartphones with the internet, which helps. We have our laptops and we can watch movies, and we're all up to date on our favorite TV shows. And Dan, Mike and I are listening to audiobooks when we drive. We listen to The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. We're about halfway through that book, and we listen to a lot of podcasts. There's a lot of media to be consumed, and so I think it took us a few tours to figure out that you don't have to be bored. You can constantly, be stimulated if you want to be, with the technology that we have available. So, we all read a lot. On the last American Tour, I bought my basketball, so I discovered a lot of different neighborhoods around our hotel in whatever city we were at, and I'd find a schoolyard and I'd shoot around. So, lots of things to do on the road if you want to make the most of it.
Ooh. So speaking of podcasts, I saw you on The Queue a while back.
Oh, yeah.
How was that experience?
It was great. Gian is one of the cream, he's the cream of the crop Canadian, journalist. And, I think one thing that we all have in common is admiration and a fascination with really strong journalism. And, we love to listen to Queue, that we love to listen to this podcast that's on NPR called This American Life, which is
brilliant.
Just a great piece of journalistic programming. I love a lot of sports podcasts. Nick listens to ESPN Baseball Today. I listen to BS Report with Bill Simmons, who he's one of my favorite sports writers. I like to listen to Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon at CTI. So there's a lot of really good stuff.
Radio Theater's really good, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've been big fans of for a long time.
Star Wars is entirely on audio. It's awesome.
That's right.
So you've defined Jackson Square as tested and true songs from the road. Would your inevitable next album contain such songs as well?
You mean in the sense that we have been, songs out on the road?
Yeah, like making new songs and testing them out on the road as you go.
Yeah, I think we've probably over the last year been playing, we've probably played at least six new songs that at one point or another, as part of our set. On this tour, I think we're doing two new ones. We've definitely been looking forward to getting back in the studio and, recording down, all our ideas. We've been demoing a lot of new songs. Yeah, we're really excited about it right now. I think we've learned a lot from touring and what works and what kind of songs we feel good about playing live. So now it's just a matter of bridging the gap between, something that sounds really nice to listen to, on your headphones, and then also something that's really fun to play live. And, it's tricky. I don't know if we totally nailed it on Jackson Square. I think it's a charming record because it's, it's our first one, and we all like the song, and we're just looking forward to improving on Jackson Square for the next one.
Maybe a covers record. You've become quite synonymous with the covers at your live shows.
Yeah, I don't know if we're ready. I don't think we could actually pull off. The thing about the covers that we do is that we don't actually play them well. And so to actually listen to them on on a record would probably be pretty dissatisfying. But we play them live with a lot of spirit.
Yeah, they're very fun.
Yeah, and so with the live show, half of it is just, you know, being enthusiastic and hoping that your enthusiasm translates to the crowd. And then the other half is, like, playing the right notes. So.
Maybe the Vancouver audience can expect some covers, some 60s soul out of you?
Yeah, I mean, we this run, we get 45-minute sets with those guys, and we just kind of stick into our own songs. So I don't know, maybe we'll play a cover. On our next headline run, which is probably when the record comes out, whenever that is, probably in the new year sometime, we'll be able to stretch out and play some covers.
Oh, cool. So one last question. How excited are you to play Halifax on Alexander Keith's birthday coming up?
We are stoked. You know, we got to open for the Trues last year there, and, you know, to be asked back to headline, you know, so that's really cool. I know Alexander Keith's birthday is like a national holiday or a provincial holiday in Nova Scotia, and, you know, for Hamilton Band to be invited, you know, to play that event is something that we are greatly appreciative of. So, and we get to play with our really good friend Travis Traffic, and Travis Traffic's a band that we've looked up to for a really long time, and, you know, they've written some of the best songs in, you know, Canadian pop music history, I think. You know, their records have always been so strong that it's going to be really fun to see those guys again.
They are a staple of the East Coast music scene, aren't they?
Totally.
Totally. Well, Max Kerman, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And that was Max Kerman, lead singer and guitarist of the Arkells from Hamilton, Ontario. Here for you now, another acoustic rendition. This is their track Heart of the City on 101.9 FM CITR. The show is Shameless in Vancouver.
Last night of the year, the white snow had started to fall, and she said, "This can't happen for a reason. How can you not have any faith?" By mistake, but I see in the heart of the city, good hearts will break. This is a test to see how much we can take. But it's hard to see. I live to find salvation, my darling, in something more concrete. Because if, oh, the final destination. When it comes my day, but I say, in the heart of the city, good hearts will break. Is this a test to see? Test to see
CIBand.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. LiveBand.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit LiveMusicVancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. LiveBand.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
see what you can do. 5 and 9 are fiddle sticks to tango echo to. Miles away from wasting at the local 5 and 9. To wishing you were somewhere else to help the pastime.
Broadcasting live from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, this is Shameless on 101.9 FM, CITR, your Canadian independent Thunderbird radio.
Shameless, shameless, shameless.
That's beautiful.
I practice my echo.
Nice work.
Thanks, thanks.
How'd you like that last set of music that you just heard?
It was pretty great.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, best set I've ever heard in my life, pretty sure.
And the recipe for a great set starts off with some acoustic Arkells.
Mm-hmm.
That's Arkells done acoustically. For those, you know, who think the band's called the Acoustic Arkells.
Thanks for the clarification.
It was great to talk to Mr. Max Kerman of the Arkells. And so I thought, hey, how about some Heart of the City acoustic style? After that, we had some of Lady Hawk. We're playing the Rickshaw Theater come October 9th. Local boys playing with some other local boys, the Japan Droids. One of the best venues the city's got to offer.
I love local boys.
I know a couple. Do you?
Maybe. One never knows.
And what we just heard was Shipped to Shore from a band out of Halifax called The Stanfields.
Nice.
I wasn't too sure about a song called Ship to Shore, thinking, you know, maybe it's a cover of some Chris DeBerg.
Ship to shore, do you read me anymore? This line is bad and fading.
But it wasn't. It was actually a lovely story about the people of Halifax. And actually, all the bands we talked to today have all been good storytellers. And it's been good to talk to them. And right now, we're going to talk to Mr. John Landry of the Stanfields over the telephone.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Pretty good. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. No, I just came from a sound check. We have a show downtown Halifax here tomorrow, so. Right.
You have.
Sound check a day early. It's kind of different, but.
Today,
you know,
or
all good.
Yeah, tomorrow you're doing the Alexander Keith birthday party, aren't you?
Yes, yeah, that's right. We're playing with Arkells.
Yeah. I just called the Arkells.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Wild.
They're a fun bunch
Wild.
Of guys.
No, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be great.
Yeah, how excited are you to play the... I guess you do it all the time, though, don't you? The Alexander Keith birthday party celebration.
You know, this is the first time we've done it. I'm pretty stoked. You know, it's 4,000 or 5,000 people to go to it. It's a big event. There's a nice big outdoor stage and lots of beer and...
Lots of partying.
Yeah.
So after that, you're going to embark on your band's first cross-country tour?
Yeah. We played in pretty much every province across Canada, piecemeal, you know, like
right.
different things. We did an Alberta tour. We've been to Canadian Music Week in the North by Northeast and different times. And, you know, we played in Vancouver at the Olympics. So we've been pretty much everywhere, but we've never done it on the ground consecutively, you know. So we're looking forward to that.
Do you have anything planned to keep sane on the road? Any ideas?
Oh, yeah. We get lots of, you know, movies and things like this, you know, for those 9-10 hour drives. We don't, end up going crazy. It's crazier than we already are, I guess.
Might I recommend season one of WKRP in Cincinnati?
Ah, great show. Sweet. That's a good idea. Yeah, I think we got The Wire and...
Oh, it's an awesome
you know,
show.
These
oh.
kind of things. And, mm. You know, I'm going to dust off my copy of Band of Brothers, see if it kind of inspires.
Yeah.
Stick it out through the hard times, you know?
They can get through that, we can get through this.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
So, let's see if I know my history. The Stanfields, are they named after a clothing department store from Truro, Nova Scotia, by any chance?
Not too far off. Robert Stanfield was the head of the Progressive Conservative Party in the 70s. He was Trudeau's counterpart, and his claim to fame was being the greatest prime minister that Canada never had.
Yeah.
So, as a result, he came from the Stanfield family who owned the textile company in Truro, who make, among other things, the underwear. You know, the long johns and this kind of thing.
Do the Stanfields wear Stanfields underwear?
We don't wear underwear.
Oh, nice. Well, I mean, good.
That's bad, but it's true.
So let's go back to 2008, when the Stanfields yep. formed. What brought you all together?
You know, it's a pretty tight-knit scene down here in Halifax. So we were all in, you know, different bands and stuff around the scene and doing our thing and, you know, just kind of meet each other at bars and parties and there's no real rocket science to it, no
right.
magical meeting of the minds like Kiss or something, you know. Yeah, it's pretty standard fare. But since that day, you know, or since that time, we've had some pretty great experiences and, you know, that brought us together as a group of musicians and friends. So, you know, we're really liking how things are progressing and you know, it's all good, you know.
Yeah. And so in the past 2 years you've really risen to high acclaim and popularity really quick.
I suppose so. I mean, we've hit our goals, you know, as we set them out. We're hitting them and you know, it's very encouraging and, you know, there's no you know, you have your days when you feel like you can't get anywhere, but you know, I think that applies. I think everybody can relate to that, no matter what you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
It's music or, you know, you're trying to, you know, get a job with a Bachelor of Science, you know?
So did you figure this
rise to success would have happened as quickly as it did?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it hasn't been very long since we started, and, you know, we've done some pretty cool things. You know, we got, you know, like when we went to Vancouver, the last time we were in town, and we played one of the Live Nation stages at the Olympics. And, you know, there's like 1,000 people in there, and, you know, we couldn't help but think, you know, like, this is cool because, you know, our music brought us here, you know, like, we did something else, we probably wouldn't get to experience this. So, you know, that was a pretty good feeling. You know, we've had kind of instances like that in the last year anyway. And, you know, it's just kind of like, holy cow, man, this is really neat. You know, as far as, I know, I don't really know how to gauge success because I'm kind of in the midst of it, but I know that I feel like, you know, we feel like we're on the right track and, you know, we feel like we're getting somewhere, so. You know, that's pretty great,
yeah. Opening for Sloan, too, and I mean the Olympic
Committee.
Yeah,
no, it was cool. You know, we got to play some great bands. You know, we played with the Truth last week. You know, we're playing with Arkells tomorrow night. You know, we played with Sloan a couple times. And it's really cool.
So speaking of accolades, you were also voted the best band to get trashed.
Yeah, many things that, you know, that was probably one of the, you know, 2 years in a row I was voted on by the Readers of the Coast in Halifax. And, you know, all the things that, you know, we've used to, you know, to get gigs and stuff, that was probably the one that got us the most work, you know, so to speak. You know, bar owners and bookers, venues like to hear that stuff. So
yeah. When
they hear that, you know, there's a potential to sell a lot of alcohol, then, you know, so, you know, it gives us a bit of an angle to get in places. So, that handle's done pretty well for us.
It's like a golden ticket.
Yeah, so to speak, I guess.
What's your favorite band to get trashed to?
Oh, AC/DC, hands down. No question. Or John Prine. I don't know. One or the other. Depends on what kind of mood I'm in. What time of day it is. Anything after midnight. Or, you know, 10:30 to 6 in the morning. 7 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. It's my John Prine time.
After that, it's the highway to hell?
Yeah, pretty much.
So as a band with a really raucous reputation and an appreciation for the booze, you must have some good stories from the stage. What was your rowdiest show ever?
Well, we just played in Prince Edward Island on Saturday night, and, you know, the crowd gets pretty crazy, like, there was shit falling off the ceilings and they were falling into the stage and knocking all that crap over. But you know what, they were doing it because they were having a blast, you know. So, you know, I can't really fault them because we're putting them in that position, you know. So, you know, you can't really blame them, you know. And stuff like that happens quite a bit, and that's our kind of our MO, you know. I just leave us trail of destruction as much as we can.
So, when recording Vanguard of the Young and Reckless, did you try to bring that stage show into the studio?
Yeah, that was kind of our thing. We didn't want to. Well, we were really, when we went in with producer Darren Van Niekerk, we were really focused on capturing, you know, that live kind of feel, you know. You know, the kind of the warts and all mentality, you know, all the records that, you know, we grew up listening to, like, you know, back in the day, you know, like, they weren't so focused on perfection as they were feel, you know?
Yeah.
And I think there's some kind of formula or balance there, the unspoken formula or balance, so to speak, and, you know, we tried our best to achieve that, and, you know, we ended up with an end result with a product that, you know, we believe in. You know, we really were happy with our record when it was done. And, you know, but one of the most common things people tell me is that it's, you know, the feel of it, you know, how it's, you know, there's little tiny flubs here and there, but that just kind of adds to the experience rather than diminish it, you know. So when I hear stuff like that, it tells me that, you know, we're on the right track. You know, maybe the next time around we'll tweak them a little more and so on.
And I think my favorite aspect of your music is the storytelling aspect of it. And your music really invokes a strong feeling of, like, maritime pride. But it also glimpses into like the darker side of East Coast living. How do you come up with such intense content?
You know, one of our biggest exports here in the East Coast now, since the fishery moratorium went down and, you know, all the mining left and, you know, a lot of industry left town, left the area, our biggest export seems to be labor, you know. Right. We send people to work in Alberta, or, you know, they join the Army and they're in Afghanistan, or, you know, they're always expatriates, you know. And you know, the stories that I try to write about are, you know, the side effects of such things, you know, like our track Ship Ashore, for example. You know, it's kind of, in a sense, the story of, you know, somebody who left here and, you know, just absolutely shell-shocked, you know, serving a higher purpose, whether good or bad. You know, there's still an inherent reality for that person, you know, when they come home and the dust is settled from, you know, serving in the conflict overseas and, you know, coming home. You know, the other track, Jimmy No More, is about, you know, a guy who has to go away to work, you know, out west, or, you know, on a ship or whatever it is, and, you know, all the trouble he gets into with gambling and, you know, things like this. And,
yeah.
And I guess another track we got is Ghost of the Eastern Seaboard. It's an acoustic track on the album. It's something I kind of cooked up, but it was a story about, you know, a guy who, you know, there's no work left, and he has to resort to smuggling drugs. And, you know, we live in, you know, one of the hubs of, you know, drug distribution for North America. You know, there's hundreds of millions of dollars, if not more, you know, the drugs that come in on boats offshore. You know, it's always been in our collective conscious. You know, it would be in the news and stuff. You know, even myself, like, I did a lot of work in the back roads in Nova Scotia. I used to be a highway construction guy, running equipment and stuff. And, you know, you'd see, like, you know, 5 hours from any major center, you would see some, you know, like a Cadillac Escalade with tinted windows and chrome rims rolling into town. Nobody knew who they were, and they'd be gone as quick as they came, and, you know, these kind of things. You know, so it's neat how, like, you know, we live in a globalized world, and, you know, I'm just trying to put my point of view on, you know, things I see anyway, and how people have to react to it, and what it means to us as a, you know, as a society out here. And, you know, I think, and I don't know 100%, but I think that, you know, there's some inherent truths for people from, you know, all over the place, you know, with people losing jobs and, you know, losing their livelihoods and over for a greater purpose, you know, people shuffle around pieces upstairs, you know, and they don't think about, or it seems to me that, you know, the common purposes get kind of swept under the rug.
Yeah. And do you say you think...
Sorry about that.
That's deep. Wow. It happens more and more often, too, it seems. And
it
such, I don't know, it's a shame, because the East Coast is just such a... I don't know, it seems so pure and nice. Like a good place to go to. It's a place,
yeah,
I'd like to move to, but, you know. Would you say you write mostly about actual, like, you base your stories on actual people that you know? Or are they composite?
You know, there are elements. You know, there are elements of it, you know. But really, you know, this is stuff I just kind of cook up, you know. I had somebody tell me, you know, there's some books that I like reading, and, you know, the historical fiction books, we'll say, for example. And, you know, while they're not true necessarily, but they're truth.
Right.
You know, and this is something somebody told me a long time ago, and it always stuck with me. So I was, you know, I just try to manipulate that, but sorry, my brain's off. I've been sick the last 3 days. Can't even think. It's been a crazy day. Anyway, there are some elements of truth to it, you know, but it's just kind of a bastardization and a consolidation of many stories, just kind of put into a single kind of narrative. So, That's like, the idea, anyway.
Dirtiest drunk in all of the land? Is there even one in particular?
Yeah, I know a few of them. I think everybody knows a few of them. That's kind of a laughing point. You know, we go to different places and, you know, there's always somebody comes up and says, I'm the dirtiest drunk in the history of liquor. You're going to find out tonight. And, you know, to me, I look at that and I see this person in the crowd. To me, that's a firecracker or a fire starter, you know. And we'll kind of single them out and you know, try to light up the room a little bit and use them to help us, you know. Usually it works. But even that song, you know, like, that, you know, on the surface, it's kind of a fun number, you know, dirtiest drunk, you know, ha, ha, ha. But, you know, if you peel back the layers a little bit, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of pathetic, really. You know, it's, you know, the character in the song is somebody that everybody just kind of looks down on and
laughs, you know, at more than laughs
never going to grow up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And certainly not any of us. I mean, but I'm sure, you know, you have your own story sometimes of, you know, waking up in the, I don't know, a ditch or a strange plot, or, you know, waking up blacked out and don't know what happened the night before. And I think everybody's got a story like that for the most part.
Maybe a couple.
And people seem to respond to it.
Yeah. People also say, for example, when you play the media club on the 19th,
yeah.
Vancouver loves the sociable, you know, sociable, and everyone takes a drink.
Well, I have to confess that is one thing that we don't do.
I know.
Just because it's you know, it's kind of stereotypical East Coast, and you know, it was actually it's well, you know, there's a couple bars downtown that will do it. They do it lower deck, you know, that's the place where they sell the most keeps in Canada or some shit like that. You know, I don't know where that actually came from. I remember one time I was down there and there was this guy from Connecticut or something. And everybody's going, sociable, sociable, sociable. And, you know, this guy leaned into me. He's like, why is everybody saying snow shovel? That just cracked me up, man. I was like, holy cow. So that's what we do. If we, you know, we say snow shovel, and, you know, a little private joke for us, but it's pretty neat.
You could try it and see if anyone's listening, if anyone's paying attention.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
Good luck on your tour.
Yeah, thanks very much. Yeah, it's Jonathan, right?
Right.
I'm a Jonathan, too.
It's a good name.
Yes, strong name. Right on.
And that was Jonathan Landry, lead vocalist and guitarist of The Stanfields out of Halifax. They play the Media Club October 19th. Great to talk to him. And, of course, to Max Kerman of the Arkells as well. And also big thanks to the whole Wooden Sky for coming out on the show and playing a few acoustic songs.
Hey, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. And coming up in just a second here, Folk Oasis. So do stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit livemusicvancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. Liveband.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
Good evening, everybody. It's just after 8 p.m., and you have just walked into the Folk Oasis here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, broadcasting live over the internet, over the old airwaves at 101.9, of course, FM, possibly in stereo, FM cable, and you can also get this show on podcast. Don't forget about the podcasts, folks. So welcome to Folk Oasis. I'm Val, your host for the next 2 hours. 2 hours of eclectic folk and roots music, as always, served with a smile,